Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM radio. Burnaby.
On the next episode of Sip Suds and Smokes.
So today the Wicked Weed beers we'll be trying are the Pernicious IPA, the Perny Haze, Hazy IPA, Freak of Nature, Double IPA, Coastal Love, Hazy IPA. Wow, it's romantic. The Dr. Dank Pineapple Dream IPA with pineapple. The Mango Wowie Hazy IPA with mango. Oh man, this is really expanding their lineup. And the Strawberry Kiwi Burst Session. Are these Kool-Aid flavors that you pasted?
Oh,
are these?
Yeah. The Strawberry Kiwi Burst Blast Session Sour.
I just crashed through the wall.
Juicy.
Juicy, indeed. And we have one extra special Wicked Weed beer that we'll be trying at the end.
We'll be right back after this break. Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to the sud segment, where when we refuse to just drink any old beer that's put in front of us, unless it's free, of course. Hmm. What?
Wow.
Who wrote that?
Is that a real sentence?
And when do they start third grade?
It would be interesting if someone would read the script a couple times before we start the show. And then
did we just chat GPT this entire episode?
We broke the fourth wall.
Don't think.
I need a beer.
David can't be in charge of conjugating anything.
God bless.
Okay. Certainly not conjugal visits.
How dare
you?
Oh,
wait. No, that's a different.
It's a whole different.
He does those.
But thank you, Sparky.
I'm here for you guys.
I used to make a living off conjugal. No, never mind.
Well, I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana.
That's a show.
Joining me at this great table today is good old
Big
boy
gender.
Mike.
I'm just glad nobody's shooting at our show yet, anyway.
That we know of.
There's always hope.
There's always hope, yes. Good old boy Sparky, hello.
I mean, the day ain't over yet, I think is really the point I want to drive home.
I think I just rang the dinner bell for Barger. He went, "Whoa, weapons! I'm in."
Yeah, We better record this episode quickly. That's all I'm saying.
Man, good old boy Tim. Hi.
Oh, hey, I'm here to help Dave put verbs into his sentences.
Whoa.
You're a scholar and a gentleman.
What do you call that? The verberator? Is that what you called it, Tim? Where do you put that on your resume, man? I think you should just put it like right in the middle in big 24-point, bold type.
Oh, yeah.
It's listen, all I'm saying is I put a good 15 minutes into putting these scripts together. All right.
You can only hit paste so many times. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Wow. Hi, good old boy, Dave.
You know what? You and I have
issues.
There's some backstory here. There's a whole couple of episodes that need to build this up.
All this is put together well in advance. So,
Swiss watch.
Like 42 minutes before we turn the mics on?
Quick read through.
Would have put together poorly in
quick
advance.
Quick read through.
Those verberator and quality control. I like that Tim is here.
Taste Awards Hall of Fame, I mean, I'm just saying there's a certain standard.
Oh, I mean, I feel like we're maybe the best of Nashville.
Ooh.
Yes, we are. Hang tough with this, folks. We are going to get to beer today.
I think this is more about the rest of Nashville.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
The bar's low.
Recently, I saw an interesting article come across my feed. It was from Forbes.com from a few months ago, and it's about some new things happening with Wicked Weed Brewing Company 7 years after they were acquired by AB InBev. Mm. I realize it had been a long time since we had tried any of their beers. Well, any new ones anyway. So good old boy Dave and I headed to the beer store to see what we could find. Good old boy Tim, speaking of beers that we got, would you mind giving us the lineup of what we're going to drink today?
Yeah, of course. And I won't be doing it in my best Roy Williams, North Carolina accent because I just don't have that drawl. despite living in North and South Carolina for years. So today, the Wicked Weed beers we'll be trying are the Pernicious IPA, the Perny Haze, Hazy IPA, Freak of Nature, Double IPA, Coastal Love, Hazy IPA. Wow, it's romantic. The Dr. Dank Pineapple Dream IPA with pineapple. The Mango Wowie Hazy IPA with mango. Oh, man, this is really expanding their lineup.
It's getting fruity here.
And the Strawberry Kiwi Burst Session. Are these Kool-Aid flavors that you pasted?
Oh, yeah. The Strawberry Kiwi Burst Blast Session Sour.
I just crashed through the wall.
Juicy.
Juicy, indeed. And we have one extra special Wicked Weed beer that we'll be trying at the end.
Yay. Well, thank you. Good old boy Sparky, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
Well, first of all, I would like to use a completely offensive accent for the state of North Carolina. And I must add that my children go to summer camp in the same county where Deliverance is filmed, which is right on the Georgia-North Carolina border.
No.
That's correct. They know what to do when they hear banjo music. Mm-hmm. But in light of respect of all the tragedy they've been through recently, I'm going to eschew that for another episode, but I will come back to you once you've rebuilt North Carolina. I promise
your time's come in North Carolina.
So we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds raisings plus our signature belching sounds. And here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a Bud Wiser product. 2, was that a belch? Number 3, what a relief. Number 4, a body really should not make that sound. And number 5, listen to that hang time, give me another.
You know, it's like the words. You can tell by the words that 5 is better than 1, but when you listen to the sounds, you're like, is that really better? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess what's better, you know?
You know your whole insides exploding out of you.
Or you missed the creative meeting in the basement like 14 years ago, but thanks for playing along, Dave. I appreciate it.
Now occurred to you.
Now, there's always time to revisit that.
Put it in a memo.
I've been thinking about it for a while. You know?
He's got a vision board about it.
How sweet.
Just chew the gummy and swallow. It'll be okay.
You know what, Juliana? We're still in the outs.
We'll talk right now, okay? We'll talk about it on the Discord.
If you wondered where you were, now you know. Big gender.
Okay, so wow.
Let's talk about one beer and then we'll give the context of yeah, I like this because okay. I need to get some beer flowing in me, and I'm sure okay. Our audience needs to go, what is this about?
All right, let's start with the original, the Pernicious IPA. 7.3% ABV. Pernicious implies influence that is harmful in a way not easily noticed. This beer is harmful, not because of overwhelming hop bitterness, but because its balanced brightness insidiously ruins your expectations for all other IPAs. This hop delivery vehicle is crafted to enjoy fresh and often, and because of its drinkability and clean finish, you'll never look at IPAs the same again.
Oh, I definitely don't look at it the same way ever again.
So the hops that they use are Amarillo, Centennial, Columbus, Matuka, Pacific Gem, and Warrior.
I thought that Centennial was probably the predominant hop I was, picking up on.
Is this
here.
Beechwood aged?
No.
And then it's dry hopped with almost as many as it's hopped with. Yes. Mm.
Of different hops?
Amarillo, Citra, Galaxy, Mosaic, Matuka, and Pacific Jade.
God, just, Lord. Like, why so many?
Well, okay, I was going to ask that question.
So, a little bit of context. You have to think about what was going on, you know, with craft beer in the marketplace. So, this was what I would call the preamble to the hops wars. You know, this is when everybody had gone through and they were looking at, you know, pub style. Everybody was making a Pilsner, everybody was making a white ale, everybody was making a red ale, everybody was making a stout. And, you know, this is kind of just beyond that. And everybody is really getting into the point where hops are becoming a lot more available. And the style, the beers were moving into more and more. And so I think that's what I remember very much about this was, wow, this is a very hoppy beer. And an explosion of flavor. Now we kind of look at it and go, it's not in balance, you know. Or there's, you know, we've had, you know, 400 other beers that are just like this, you know.
Yeah, it definitely tastes kind of like a lot of other beers. I don't know. I do think it's very balanced, though, I guess maybe in the IPA West Coast world. It is really smooth for 7.2 or something. Like,
you're looking at me for confirmation?
Two of these pints, I know.
Was that a question or a statement? I'm not quite sure. You're looking at Dave going, and this is balanced?
I feel like Dave's the kind of guy like who also would have two of these pints quickly and be like, wow, that was kind of where I wanted to get.
And I got there.
Yeah. Kind of dried my mouth out. Damn,
Do you guys remember the whole like story of the name?
Pernicious?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Do tell.
Oh, yeah. So,
Father Sparky.
Henry VIII was offended by hops, and he called it a vile...
Off with their head!
Pernicious and wicked weed.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
That was banned.
He was at the marketing meeting.
Once again.
Okay.
Somebody read that article.
And it wasn't until his daughter Elizabeth came and hops were allowed to come back into fashion again. But yeah, apparently did not like the hops.
So if she did not have daddy issues, we would never have hops.
That's their brew pub that had that quote on the wall back in the day. I mean, this reminds me of like a not quite as good two-hearted. You know, to Mike's point about Centennial.
So it's like a one-hearted. Okay.
Yeah, it's a one-hearted. It's not terrible, though.
Three.
It's not terrible.
Okay. Well, we are going to rate Pernicious a 3.
Mm. But also now I want two-hearted, now that you mentioned that.
Good job, Tim.
Well, two-hearted is like all Centennial. This, you know, the Amarillo off this I thought was the odd duck, you know, probably in that hot blend. And I would rather have the two-hearted all day long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a bad IPA, though, being in Bev, that it's everywhere now.
Like, if you can't go to a football game, two-hearted.
Yeah.
And you can get it fresh, which is nice, too, a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about their distribution footprint after the break here.
Yes. Yeah. So stay tuned with us, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's discussion is on Wicked Weed.
Part of what kind of inspired this conversation was actually an article that was published in Lifestyle Spirits by Emily Price, contributor. I love her byline, which is, I cover alcohol, cannabis, and intoxicating travel and adventures. That sounds like us, right?
That's a good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can already hear Barger at the top of the mountain going, yes.
Yeah, you get paid for that?
Contributor. Yeah, I'm stoned. What do I have to do again?
It's a weird last name, contributor. But.
Well, the name of this article was 7 years after joining AB InBev's high-end wicked weed is thriving was the name of the article. We'll include a link to this full article if you want to read it. But, you know, I think that it just kind of provoked a conversation that, you know, if you did not know that InBev is the owner of a huge, you know, alcohol conglomerate globally. It's fairly beer heavy, although they do make other forms of beverages as well.
Dutch.
And they own Anheuser-Busch in the U.S. Dutch, market, whatever. As well as, Belgium. You know, globally as well. And so they went through a lot of acquisitions of purchasing a tremendous number of brands, you know, globally in the craft beer industry. And Wicked Weed was actually one of the very first acquisitions that they made. And so I think this is kind of looking at the, what happened, you know, are they better off, you know, some of these breweries in a post-acquisition mode? And so this article kind of was answering that basic question. And one of the key things that they talk about is that they have definitely expanded distribution, and actually they had the largest production year last year in the history of the brewery. And part of that is, so Wicked Weed was is based in North Carolina, in Asheville, but they've expanded distribution to a number of states. I think I counted 5, 6. So it's North and South Carolina is where they distributed at the point of acquisition. But after that, they added Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, and Virginia, as well as some other select markets in the Northeast part of the U.S. So they really expanded a lot of the, you know, geographic footprint for a lot of the beers that they had been making. And, but, you know, we've had some conversations in pre-production, you know, is that really a good thing? And what's really kind of going on, you know, with kind of the application footprint or the common cycle that, you know, are they doing the same thing with each of these brands or they're doing something completely different? Because, I mean, I don't think you have to look any further than looking at Goose Island and saying, you know, is Goose Island, you know, better off? They were actually probably one of the very first acquisitions, you know, to go down.
They're probably like, man, we went cheap.
Yeah.
So cheap.
Yeah.
So cheap.
You know, so this cycle actually happened through a lot of craft beer. And I think the one moment that all of us were kind of gasping at is when Constellation purchased Ballast Point, which is in California.
Was
for $1 billion.
With $1 billion. That's $1 billion with a B.
$1 billion. And so
ran it into the ground in record time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like obviously Ballast Point.
It's one of their beers.
That was bad. But but for Goose Island, like Goose Island is still out there. Like they're still you can still find their beers. And there's a lot of craft brands that have come and gone since then. So in that sense, maybe, you know, they are better off in a way.
I know who was the winner out of all of this.
America.
The lawyers that
nice. Who were behind the contracts?
All these deals that went down.
Yeah.
No. I played golf with them, so I know exactly who won. So.
Having been in that space and signing these brands, you know, there was a very big difference. Like for Ballast Point, their goal was to get it in all 50 states as quickly as possible. And there was no planning or sustainability model or anything like that. And then, you know, I would argue that when you look at some of these bigger brands like Lagunitas or Ballast Point, their culture was amazing. And it did not fit.
I like how you used it in a past tense, like it's been dragged out back and shot.
It was, right? So they murdered what made these brands special and significant and then ran them into the ground. And AB InBev has done that too with like a lot of the brands they've acquired. This is like one of the rare moments where they haven't screwed it up, which, you know, they just offloaded a bunch of brands recently that they had just run into the ground. So it's, I think there's a really like lack of understanding with these big brands. You know, you can put Bud Light or Mick Ultra or, you know, Coors Banquet anywhere, right? But you can't necessarily do that with some of these craft brands. And I think they were smart with this brand by not just blowing it up all over the country and letting it die on the shelf. I think that was a smart move on their part, but that was probably the exception and not the rule. God bless those attorneys.
So I'm going to throw out one question. When you tasted Pernicious today, did it hold up to where you thought that beer was originally? Did it get better or worse, or was it basically the way that you remember it?
I don't know about today, but like I remember tasting it before they were purchased and then not long after when they had started expanding the production on it. And it felt like, and maybe it was just my perception then and bias, but it felt like it was different. It fell off between that. So, and it's been so long since I've had it now.
Like it tasted different today. Or it was muted.
It just wasn't quite as flavorful.
Like didn't pop like it did.
It had too much Amarillo, which is what it had today.
But now it's 7 years gone. Like my palate's changed in so many different ways.
Yeah, we've had a couple of episodes since then.
I've grown. You've grown as a person.
I appreciate that. Juliana was just telling me about that prior to this.
She's told me. Yeah, she's always talking about how big I am.
You're more full of crap than you were 7 years ago. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
That's a way to say it.
Everybody has to have a goal.
It's not the way I would appreciate it being said.
What were you going to say, Juliana?
Yeah. No, but
talk about my growth.
Talk about your growth. Talk about all of our growth.
We need to get it removed.
Yeah.
Again.
No, but
I thought the hair was cute.
Before Wicked Weed was taken over, they were a force to be reckoned with. Everything that we had was great. We couldn't stop talking about the next great beer, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then the takeover happened, and then we were all like just sort of like shell-shocked, right?
Absolutely.
And then somebody was like, well, let's at least try what's coming out now and just see. Maybe it won't be so bad. And I do remember it being like softer and almost watered down, and we were like, oh, so this is what happens
right
when InBev buys out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now that it's been a few years later, it's okay. I still feel like it's not, and maybe again this is my perception because back then everything was pretty and they could do no wrong.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Speaking of soft and watered down, let's move on to our next beer.
All right. So this one.
I'm here to help.
Yeah. So this is the hazy brother of Pernicious that came out last year in 2023. It is 6.9% ABV. So a little bit less than its big brother.
So this is the brother that transitioned to a hazy.
IPA? Transitions to hazy, yes. So the hazy hop delivery vehicle is to be enjoyed fresh and often. Citra and Simcoe from our favorite hop fields drive the juicy IPA. With its crushability and effortless finish, you'll never look at a hazy IPA the same. This one is hop with Citra and Simcoe.
I don't know, man.
This is not good.
This is a lot sweeter. And to even say that it is a stepchild of Pernicious.
Is this what they're expanding into New England with? Like, I know they're going to do some expanding.
I hope not, because that's going to get you a wicked China.
It's just like, it's just the most basic mass-produced hazy. Like, it's so boring. This beer makes me angry.
Whoa.
But it's like not poorly made.
It's
just so
innocuous.
And you won't like him when he's
just so
you're saying this was really good 6 years ago?
Probably, yeah. That's accurate.
If it was made six years ago.
That's what it reminds me of is just this was a great recipe, you know, 6 or 7 years ago that they came out with. But, you know, we've had, you know, 1,000+ other beers that are in this style that are actually a lot better than this. This is just, I don't know.
Just low effort.
Yeah, it's very bourgeois.
You know what pisses me off about this, kind of going back a second, was... You know, I remember walking with Walt and Luke, like pulling nails in the Funkatorium, and they were like, oh, we'll never sell out and stuff like that. And I said, we were trying to sign him. We had a relationship with him, and I was at the Miller Coors House at the time. And I'm like, we can't do that right now. I'm like, well, that's strange. And like, they were just like, oh, we'll never sell out. We'll never, but like, it's interesting because like this beer is sellout beer.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
This is like if you just want to make a hazy beer that you think anybody would, you know, just kind of middle of the road.
It's like when you feel obligated to have a hazy in the lineup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to feel that this was not made by Wicked Weed, but by the marketing team at ABN.
the computers.
The Don Draper of 20.
We're here from InBev, and we're here to help. That was what happened.
It's almost like when you make an Imperial IPA or a Session IPA, and you just take you have a really good IPA, and you're going to make a Session or an Imperial version of it, and instead of like creating a recipe for that new beer that is tailored to that style, you just take your recipe and you kind of
reduce it by 25% or up it by 50%,
mess around with it a little bit or something. I don't know, just
okay,
a mess.
We are going to rate the Pernie Hayes Hazy IPA from Wicked Weed a 2.
Do better, AB and Biff.
So I think that's kind of provoking the next question I wanted to throw out for a little bit of discussion, which is when you are looking at the influence of the, you know, acquiring overlords that have come into a lot of these brands.
I like that.
You know, if you had to overcharacterize the net effects, are you saying that what's happened here with, you know, Pernicious Haze or Perry Haze is...
Perineum.
That... It got better. It got worse. They tweaked recipes. Tweaked meaning the accounting people came in and changed, you know, vendors for a certain hop. And no, it's not going to taste the same. But we saved 20%. You know.
Yeah, definitely. Like the contracts they have. Like there's Galaxy and Motueka. You were saying in Pernicious. There's absolutely no way that was in Pernicious when they first made it. Like literally, no one knew about Galaxy.
They weren't there yet. Yeah.
Unless you're in Australia.
Or you were a stripper. I mean,
and your name's Galaxy. Yeah. The Galaxy they knew about was the South Asheville, you know, warehouse.
I can definitely see, you know, the yield accounting, you know, department of AB InBev stepping in and having a measure of undue influence on the operations.
That's part of buying it, right? You know, and the economies of scale. We get this grain at this rate, so this is what
there
you're new to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, yeah, absolutely. And that's
somehow we got too much of this hop, so we're going to need you to go ahead and make a beer with
which
that.
Brings us to our next one.
And it's called Pernie Hayes. Yeah.
Yeah, Pernie Hayes. Just call it Pernie Hayes.
Also, the next beer is Freak of Nature. Freak of Nature, as well as Pernicious, were some of their original
beers.
I don't know that they were the first ones, but. Whenever I started going, you know, I don't even remember 2011 or 12 or something.
And the before times and the long ago.
But I can't speak to the taste.
I think they first opened in 2012, so probably back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up an hour away, and Asheville is always the place to go for arts and culture and beer.
Hippies.
Sure. And hippies, yeah.
Dirty, you know. Dirty.
Goddamn dirty, filthy dirty, hippies. Yeah.
You hold your gummy like this.
All right. So speaking of Freak of Nature, let's talk about Freak of Nature. It is 8.5% ABV. Freak of Nature, noun, 1, an unusual, unexpected natural phenomenon. 2, an outlying West Coast style double IPA brewed with an abnormally large quantity of hops. 3, a delicately crafted and crushable ale designed for fresh and immediate consumption. 4, a hophead vice or downfall. Example, though warned about its habit-forming hoppiness, they were seduced by the dank, tropical, and drinkable Freak of Nature. So hops used were Centennial Chinook Columbus Warrior and then dry hopped with Amarillo Centennial Columbus and Simcoe.
So I think Freak of Nature is actually Barger's stage name.
Nice. That makes so much sense.
Maybe a wrestling name, yeah.
I feel a new tattoo just got born right there. Yeah, this is actually pretty good.
I like this.
Yeah, it's a clean West Coast.
This is pretty solid.
Guys, this orange is Gynemonosaurus.
Okay.
There you go.
It's got that little alcohol kind of hop burn, mm-hmm. but you know, it's a double.
It's not bad for 8.5%.
No,